Now on the line, I have Dubliner and author Lara Cullen. Good morning, Lara. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. I'm really well, thanks. How are you?
I'm in good form. Now, you are ensconced in the Big Smoke in London, but you're really a dub.
Absolutely. You can take the girl out of Dublin, but you know what they say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lara, what has you over in London?
Gosh, well, now I'm in London. I've been here now for 9 years, and I work as an executive coach, and I run a business here called The People Person. But I've been in the UK pretty much since I left school. I grew up in Dublin, went to Cork for university for a year, and at the end of my first year, I decided to go to Glasgow for a weekend because I liked the accent, and I never came home. So,
well, no,
I've been in the UK a long time.
I can totally understand that. A year in Cork would do that to anybody.
No comment. I don't want to offend any of your Cork listeners before we even start.
Oh, God. I do enough of that. Now, Laura, you've just written a book, and you've written a book about something that I really enjoy and passionate about. So will you tell us all about it?
For sure. Yeah, so my book is called How to Be a People Person, Be Kind, Be Brave, Be Brilliant. And it is basically a combination of everything I've learned over the last 20 years working as an executive coach, as a leadership coach. And then before that, I had a career in HR. So I've been working with people for a really long time. And last year, when the pandemic hit, you know, a lot of my business was face to face. So I suddenly had a lot more time on my hands, and I decided to put everything I'd learned into a framework that people could use that would really help them to develop, to grow, to you know, support themselves individually. But also there's a leadership element attached to it as well. And one of the first things that I do in the book is redefine what it means to be a people person. So often when we think of a people person, we generally think of somebody who's very outgoing and charismatic and friendly and good with others. And while that's absolutely the case, in my experience, that really is quite a limited definition. And actually, a people person is somebody who's able to bring out the best in other people. And, you know, whether they're outgoing and extroverted or not kind of is irrelevant, but it's somebody who's able to bring out the best in people. But to be able to do that, you've got to bring out the best in yourself. So my definition of a people person is somebody who brings out the best in themselves and others, and that by doing that, hopefully it'll make the world a better place, because the more of us who are showing up at our best and helping others to do the same, then, you know, I think that will make for a better world to be living in. So that's what the book's all about, how to do that.
And I have to say, I totally agree with you. And I loved what you're saying, how to be a people person, be kind, be brave. And
yeah.
I think if you're kind and you're brave, the brilliance will come.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And they're in that order for a reason. You know, so in order to be brave and to take risks and be courageous, you've got to know how to be kind to yourself, because every time you step out and you do something that takes you outside of your comfort zone, you know, some of those risks will pay off straight away. But oftentimes we'll get bruised and we'll get bumped along the way. So it's really important that we're able to pick ourselves up with gentleness and with compassion. So the model which the book is based around is based around those three key ways: kind, brave and brilliant. And it's applied across three different dimensions. So yourself, other people, and then the wider environment. And it's in that order. So learning how to be kind to yourself, learning, you know, how to be courageous yourself, be brilliant yourself. And then it kind of ripples out. So I liken it to throwing a pebble in a pond of water, and the effect ripples out.
Indeed. And, you know, as we spoke earlier, I started my working life as a butcher. And
yeah.
So you had to talk to people, you had to communicate with people. But to get someone to buy something from you, And to be happy with that, you had to be kind to them. You had to draw them out. You had to make them feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's something that's much easier to do when you're able to also apply that kindness towards yourself. But, you know, it is really seeing people as they are. And one of the key parts of kindness is acceptance. So that's accepting yourself as you are, and it's accepting other people as they are. So it doesn't mean that, you know, you don't want to change or you don't go want to develop or grow. You know, acceptance doesn't mean settling or tolerating, but it means allowing somebody to be as they are and to look for the good in people and to look for the good in yourself too, which is sometimes harder to do for some of us.
And another thing that I learned in along the way was making mistakes. That we all make mistakes, and nobody makes anything without making mistakes. So don't come down hard on somebody or even on yourself for making a mistake. Okay, if you do it two or three times in a row, okay, you that's not the greatest, but you have to make mistakes. You can't make it until you've made the mistakes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, what's interesting is that it's usually the mistakes that shape us rather than our successes. Within the three key ways, be kind, be brave, be brilliant, I've got four pathways that feed into those. So there's 12 overall. But the first pathway in this way of being brilliant is called be a student. And what that's about is exactly what you're talking about, this whole thing of mistakes. So, you know, often we strive to be great at something, to master something. That's what we aspire to do. But if we aspire to be a master, then anything less than mastery is failure. And what I've learned, you know, along my way and then through the journey is that if we loosen that grip on trying to be perfect or trying to not make mistakes, trying to be masters, if we loosen that grip and instead adopt an attitude of being a student and seeing life as a place where we learn and that every single day is an opportunity to learn and that's our challenge, our aspiration to keep learning as opposed to stop learning because you've learned everything there is to know, then actually, ironically, you will perform better, get better results, be more successful and be happier. So within the book, we talk a lot, or I talk a lot about kind of embracing imperfections and embracing failure and embracing mistakes because, you know, that keeps us growing.
Indeed. And, you know, as we were talking earlier and I mentioned that I'm a keen golfer. One of the things in golf is that the more you try to be perfect, hit that perfect shot, the more you tense up and try and do, the worse the shot's going to be.
Yeah,
that's just a fact of life. Once you tense, all your muscles get tense. You're not flowing, and it's the same when you get tense, and you're trying to do something, you'll forget.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a story which I love. Again, I go into it in detail in the book, but it's about a ceramics teacher, and on the first day of class, he would divide his students into two groups, and the first half would be assessed only on the quantity of the work that they produced. So the more that they did meant they got a higher grade, whereas the other half were graded only on the quality. So all they needed to do was produce one perfect pot and then they'd get an A. But then when the class finished and time came to grade it, what happened was that the highest quality work was all produced by the first group, because they were busy doing lots, making loads of mistakes and learning from their mistakes. And as a result, perfecting, you know, or getting things that were of really high quality. Whereas the second group, who were focused on perfection, had been stuck theorizing and overanalyzing it so much that they didn't really have very much to show for their efforts. So there's a lot to be said for, you know, getting out and getting it done as opposed to obsessing over getting something perfect. And yeah, as you say, the same clearly applies to golf as well.
Indeed. Now, the before I ask you where people can get this, because it's not out yet, but they can still pre-order, but we'll get to that. What I was going to ask, how important is it to listen, to really listen?
Yeah, I mean, incredibly important. And it's something that I don't think, well, I certainly wasn't taught it at school. I don't think many of us have been, unless the school curriculums have changed. So, you know, most of us go through life not really listening, you know, waiting instead for our moment to speak. But actually, truly listening to somebody, truly hearing somebody, truly seeing somebody is one of the kindest and greatest gifts that you can give to that person. But it's also how you learn and how you develop and how you grow. So for me, you know, listening is just, it's so underrated and so important.
I'm just so delighted that you said that, because to me, it's one of the things that frustrates me in life is people not listening. Not truly listening. And just as you say, that they're listening to jump in and get their spoke in and not actually listening to what the person's going to say. And I think it's as you say, kindness, it is such a respect to give someone to listen to them.
Absolutely. And I see that, you know, in my work as a coach, I see it all the time, because, you know, people will often say, so what do you do and how does it work? And I say, sometimes you just talk and I just listen. And often, you know, we do more than that as well. But often they're the moments where people have real breakthroughs, where they're just able to speak and to be heard and to be seen and you know, to work things out for themselves in their own head as well. And it just doesn't happen enough. I think especially it doesn't happen enough in workplaces. It's obviously where we spend a lot of our time. You know, people are busy, aren't they? But it would be a much kinder and gentler world if we all just took a break, took a breath, and really allowed people to be heard.
Now, unfortunately, Lara, we are running out of time. Now, when is the book coming out and where can we get it and can we pre-order it?
Okay, fantastic. So the book is coming out on the 28th of October. You can get it from Amazon. It's probably the easiest place to get it from. You can also go onto my website, www.thepeopleperson.org, and get it there, or you can go into any bookseller and they will order it for you. And yes, is the answer to the third question. You can pre-order it now. Absolutely. It's available.
Yeah, no, and if I can advise anyone out there, this is the type of book you should actually be reading, because it will just change. I think that these sort of things change your life.
Yeah, that's my hope. You know, it's a big hope, but it really is my hope. It's the book that I wish I had 20 years ago.
Lara, thank you so much for chatting to us. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.